Hello, this is Dr. Mindy Shaw. This is our third podcast in my series of Teaching Humanity Remotely. Welcome back. Today's theme is consistency and follow-through. And I thought that I just wanted to give you a little bit of history of who I am and how I was perceived, certainly by the children that I taught for over 30 years and their parents, because this theme may illustrate that I could be very firm, so I want you to know that I was also seen as a good time. Just a little insight into how the adults and the children saw me. But before I start that, I want to say that, you know, there are some really important either themes or principles that I feel adults who are given the responsibility of caring for children really need to embrace. And I just want to say that this is completely from my experience because I was a very young mother. I had my first child when I was 22. And at the time that I was raising her, I wanted us to be friends. And, you know, so there's a lesson in wanting to be really close and having very fulfilling relationships with our children. I mean, after all, we had them and we want to make sure we have quality relationships and teach them how to have quality relationships with other people based on our quality relationship we have with each other. But the truth is that the parent has certain roles as the parent, certain roles, responsibilities, and obligations. And so to learn how to navigate those roles and responsibilities and obligations with love and the purest of intent, and sometimes having to incorporate some firmness. And I think that once that is achieved, that balance of deep unconditional love and being firm but gentle, I think children really respect that. And I think it's our responsibility as adults to make sure we can be firm without being mean, you know, that there is a delicate balance. So once again, today's theme is consistency and follow-through. This means for the adults to make sure that they are being consistent and having follow-through with their children. And I'll explain some very authentic examples as to what to do and when to do it. However, prior to sharing my thoughts and feelings on this topic, I want you to know just a little bit more about me, as I said earlier. I would define myself as the most playful adult, as well as the most serious. And I think children might say the same. Children would describe me also as being playful, silly, smart, serious, strict, respectful, funny, and friendly. You know, I had a kindergarten first grade class, and so instead of using the word respect all the time, although that was certainly important, I used the word friendly because 4 and 5 year olds could really relate to that, and they know what friendly is. And if you're friendly at that level, there is an element of respect to that as we are learning how to be good friends. As I said, I had my first child when I was 22, so I completely understand the need to balance being your child's friend and being the parent. Having said this, I want to share what I have come to understand through the 35 years plus of my experience. This month, my daughter will be turning 36 and my son 34. Children need and want boundaries. Parents and educators can be friendly, silly, and playful when it's appropriate. Always, always be respectful. That's always appropriate. However, there's also a need to be firm and strict when it's necessary. A parent or a teacher is not being mean or unfriendly when they are imposing a necessary consequence or discipline. The adult is merely responding to the need of the child. Everything is a learning lesson, and we all teach and learn from each other. When a child misbehaves, that child needs to be given the appropriate consequence in order to have a learning lesson. Now, it is critical that the punishment fits the crime, and I put that in quotation marks because I don't, even the word consequence can have like a negative connotation. If there's an event and a child is misbehaving and that adult who's in charge is helping the child by providing the child with the necessary learning lesson, it can look like a consequence, but that's not a negative thing because that is what is being needed and being asked for by the child. Behavior equals need. So we need to be responding to the behavior of the child. That's how I see that one. So it's critical that the punishment fits the crime, but I wish we had different words for that. And when it does, it really isn't a punishment, but rather a natural consequence of the child's mistake, meaning that they need to have a learning lesson and then do it over. Do the situation, do the behavior, do the event over without that mistake. The mistake, it's like the way they shoot movies or commercials, or maybe the way I have to pause sometimes with this podcast. You know, if I say something that isn't right, I may stop and want to do it again. So the mistake is a moment to pause and get a learning lesson based on the inappropriate activity that occurred. Now I'm going to share the need to have consequences and why it's so important. Let's say, I'm sure if this has not happened to you as a parent or educator, lucky you, and if it has, I'm sure you'll be able to identify with the experience. If it hasn't happened to you, I'm sure you've witnessed this in the world. So let's say you notice that there's a family going shopping, and there's a little, maybe a 3 or 4 year old sitting in the wagon at the grocery store, and the mom and dad are, you know, in a hurry shopping, and the child wants to get something. Maybe it's a book or candy or some food, and the parent says no, and the child starts acting out. First, the child's like, no, I want it, you know, and there's a little, you know, little moments. Maybe the mom or dad's trying to ignore that behavior. Maybe they're having a discussion about that behavior. At any rate, however it starts, after a little while, it starts to escalate, and the child's having a temper tantrum. Sometimes during that really stressful moment, it's really stressful for the parent, right? Because there could be some embarrassment, which there shouldn't be because this is what happens, and it could just be uncomfortable. So at that time, a parent may give in to the child. And guess what? You know what that's teaching? That's teaching the child, and this is how smart children are, that, you know what, I can just have a temper tantrum and I'm going to get what I want. Therefore, it's critical once the adult makes the decision, even if in the middle of the experience they wish that they made a different decision, they can't give in then. They can't give in then because then what they're teaching is that inappropriate behavior that the child's doing, which is why the parent is changing their mind and giving in, that inappropriate behavior is getting reinforced, and the child will learn to do that every time. That's why you can't give in then. When I was a teacher, let's say I was working with a student and I thought that they could maybe write a word, and the child was really having a hard time and starting to cry or something, I can't imagine this happening, but if something like that did happen, I would adjust my expectation and maybe share the pencil with the child. So I would make a little tiny adjustment and still have the child do basically what I asked with a little assistance because, you know, I don't want this to become a message where the child is failing. And then afterwards, I would say exactly what happened. I would say, I want you to know that I still believe that you could have, you know, stretch that sound, all those sounds in the word. Let's say I wanted the child to write the word cat, and the child started to cry because they thought it was too hard to do that. And so what I would do is I would say, stretch the word. And if I saw that the child really was feeling that the child wasn't going to be successful, I don't want the child to get that message. So I would say, let's stretch the word together. And I would say like this, let's do it together. At. What do you hear? And then, you know, I would say, now you do it by yourself, and then they would write the letters. So there would, so in that way, I might lessen how they're perceiving my expectation, but I'm still going to get the same result. Then the next day, when we were writing, I would go to that child and I would say, you know, yesterday I said, you know, I think you could write the word cat all by yourself. And then you seemed like you were a little afraid to do that. And so we stretched the sound together. Well, today I'm going to ask you to write the word dog. And I want you to know that I don't need to stretch that word with you. I know that you know how to do it. And even though right now you might be feeling a little nervous, I'm just going to hold the space that you can do it. So show me, how do you say the word dog? Say the word dog. Say it slowly. D-A-G. You know, so I would be there sort of holding them their hand through it. But also not changing my expectation. That's the point. It's like if you change what you're expecting in the middle of the experience, when the child is experiencing either inappropriate behavior, misbehavior, or feeling that they can't do something, and you're having the understanding and the expectation that they can, if you give in, then you're teaching the child to either give in to that misbehavior, to give in to the inappropriate behavior, or to you're teaching the child that since they think they can't do it, you're going to change your expectation and you're going to now think they can't do it. So it's a lose-lose. So you have to hold the space. You have to hold the space, make a tiny little accommodation, and then the next day or at a later time, have a conversation about what happened. That conversation is the follow-through. So the consistency and the follow-through, really important. So when I was a teacher, I was fortunate enough to always have another adult in the room. And I would teach the children, you know, very much at the beginning of the year, that if you ask a question to a grown-up in this class, and that grown-up gives you an answer, and you don't like the answer, don't go to the other grown-up, because that other grown-up will give you the same answer. And this is a lesson for you boys and girls. Do the same thing at home. You know, don't play one parent against the other. And I would explain what that looked like, and I know that all of us have had that experience as a household that has two parents. You don't want to be teaching your children to be manipulative in a negative way. We don't want children to learn that. If I worked with a grown-up, when I worked with grown-ups in my room, and I had and a child asked my assistant, my teaching assistant, if, you know, whatever it would be, like whatever, could I play with this now? And she said yes, and I really would have said no. I would not correct that. I would let it go. Or if it was the other way, if the assistant said no, and I would have said yes. However it would go, I would let that go. Then when the children left for lunch or, you know, a special, I would talk to my co-teacher, and I would say, let's talk about what happened. I would have done this. And, you know, we would just talk it out. Adults who are working together with children, whether it be parents or teachers, we're not always going to see things in the same way. We're not going to see eye to eye. But it's really critical that the two adults or three adults, you know, whomever are having this experience with the child or children, that they're not discussing this in front of the child or children, because then the child or the children will see their way in, his, her, they will see their way in to always go to the parent who's going to give in, or always, you know, get what they want through this kind of manipulation. So consistency really is so important. And, you know, there are so many stories. You know, I don't want to teach, if I'm feeling that I have a student, let's say, and I know that student can do something that I'm requesting of them, and they don't. If something happens and I don't require the student to do what I asked of them, then the student's learning, in fact, that they can't do it. So when the grown-up makes the decision, the grown-up really has to have that follow-through. And I don't think that's a lack of being mean or unfriendly. You know, there's some principles that human beings, I think, would have an easier time in life and perhaps a more fulfilling life if they didn't take certain, you know, if they could live by certain principles. And one principle is to not take it personally. Young children, when they are not getting what they want, as well as, you know, grown-ups, but, you know, we're only talking about children now, might be really unfriendly or nasty or say unfriendly things, you know? And, you know, then there's lessons along the way. All of these things that children do, if they say something as outrageous as "I hate you," they don't mean what they say. They hear the word. It's not a friendly word. They know they're going to get a response, so they're going to say that, you know, and at a later date, there's something to talk about. But right now, you just want to ensure that there is a de-escalation of behaviors that are inappropriate. So you deal with that, you leave the store, you don't get the child what the child wants, and then in another moment when it's calm, you have lessons about it. And if a child's saying things that are unfriendly, you know, you have lessons about it, not at the time of the incident, because, you know, children are human beings, and when human beings are upset, it's not the best time to try to get that learning lesson in. It has to be at a time that it could be received. And then it could just be part of the conversation. You know, the other day I noticed that in the store, you were really angry when you didn't get what you want. So what could you have done differently? When I said we couldn't, you know, get that book because I didn't have enough money, or you have enough books or whatever, you needed to listen to me. And when you didn't listen to me, what happened? So we let the child say, "Oh, I didn't get what I wanted." Let that, yes, that's the learning lesson. When you act inappropriately, when you are misbehaving, you are not going to get the lesson. So you're really, it's happening in the moment. In that moment, there's not a whole lot of learning going on, because there's, you know, all these feelings are really what's at the surface. When the moment's gone, at another date, at a later date, when there's calm and there could be conversation, then it's up to the parent or teacher to have the follow through and to provide the learning lesson again and again and again. And I first started to write, the reason this is, became a podcast is because I first started to write a book about consistency, and I realized it was really for the adult. So I wanted to make a podcast that will then become a blog for the adults, the need to be consistent. It's, you know, there's a lot of ways in which we could be really friendly with our children and really playful, and we want to be. And there are just some big principles where we just really need to take the lead and be the adult and not be, not feel sorry for it and not apologize for it. Hold the space with gratitude and love that, you know, you wanted to have a child or children, and that you are responsible and respectful enough to know that children are going to learn. They're going to learn based on what you teach them. They're going to learn what you teach them directly, and they're going to learn what you teach them indirectly. So the consistency issue, I want to bring it to the surface. I want it to be a direct teaching instead of what they might be learning by your behavior that's really unconscious, and so you're giving in and then they're getting the wrong message. So I think that's why I really wanted to bring this up. It was very important, and it didn't work as a child's book, and that made me think, aha, I'm going to share it with parents in a different way. There are many books that I have that I think really address, though, this, for example, this example I gave you was about having a temper tantrum, and that is really about anger. And so I do have a book that's called Anger, and I think that's a fantastic book to help your child gain strategies for them to express their anger. You know, it's like, I believe that there are really only two feelings, love, and all positive feelings come from love, and fear, and all negative feelings come from fear. But what we judge, or socially what we deem as negative feelings, they're not negative feelings. To have fear when you are seeing cars crossing the street, it's a sign to not cross the street. So that's a good thing, right? To have fear when there's fire and you know it's not safe to touch the fire, that's a very good thing. So it's even hard to describe emotions as positive or negative, because all feelings, even the ones that if we don't learn how to express them correctly, could cause us and others to suffer. In and of themselves, they're just feelings, right? So it's our job as the adults to help our children mark the feelings, say, your behavior, it looks like you're doing this. You know, Johnny, the other day when you asked me if you could play on your tablet, and I said no, and then you asked Daddy if you could play, and Daddy said yes, not knowing that I already said no. You know what that's called?
No, Mommy, I don't know what that's called.
Well, you know, it's called manipulating. You are manipulating us, and that's not okay. From now on, and then you set what your rule is, and you have a discussion about it, and then there's accountability. You can't make rules, you know, willy-nilly, you know, without giving the child the respect and the buy-in. This is the rule. This is why it is. There's negotiation that can happen. But once there's the rule and it's agreed upon, then all you have to do is go back to the agreement. Again, maybe not in the moment. So I just really wanted to share this brief podcast with you. Consistency and follow-through. And to not take things personally as parents. And also to not feel like by being the parent and having some boundaries and creating some foundation and structure, you're not being mean. You know, what happens is that we want to be so nice, and then we wind up, it seems like we're mean because we're stressed, and then we scream and we don't want to scream, and you know how it is. So this is all, again, I want these podcasts to help families. I wrote the books because I felt that they were child-friendly. They are congruent with what many states require, nonfiction, real authentic experiences. The characters are relatable because there's a grandchild that is your child's age and a grandma, that's me, you know. But I really want to help overburdened parents. This is such a stressful time and my heart bleeds for you. And I really hope that my contributions are of service. That's a very important requirement for my own humanity. And so I want you to feel free to go to my website and download the free book, which is Learning Remotely. And my website again is learnwithmeremotely.com. learnwithmeremotely.com. Also, if you have any further questions or suggestions of subjects that you would like me to address and consider on my podcast, please email me at learnwithmeremotely@gmail.com. That's learnwithmeremotely@gmail.com. If you write to me at gmail.com, learnwithmeremotely, I will respond and incorporate your questions, concerns, interest in subjects on a future podcast. Also, you can follow me on Facebook at Learn With Me Remotely and on Instagram, Dr. Mint Shaw. And of course, you can hear my podcast wherever podcasts are heard. All right, I look forward until next time. Our next podcast, again, we're going to have a guest reader, and I'm not sure what book we're going to be reading, but we're going to read it, and then she is going to discuss how she utilized it in her preschool class. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also hoping that in the future, maybe I could have a little Zoom with children. I'm not sure how we're going to manage that, but this is a future inspiration that I have, because it's nice for parents to get to see what an adult's doing with their children. So until next time, breathe, enjoy, let us work together to ensure that we are all practicing our humanity daily.